Welcome to the Nova Nation podcast. I'm Rob Logan. On this episode, my good friend and co-host Chris Merle and I talk about some insider info we've been given on summer practices, talk about Justin Moore's return, and give our way too early starting lineups for the upcoming season. All this on the Nova Nation podcast. Listen up. Go Nova. Welcome back, Nova Nation. We are here. It is the summer season, and we're going to talk a little bit about what's going on right now with your men's basketball team. I got my good friend and co-host, Chris Merle, here. What's up, Chris? How's your summer been?
Good, Rob. Good. Thanks for asking. Hopefully everything's going good with you guys.
Everything's going good, and it's actually going by really way too quick. Blink of an eye, and it's already August, you know?
That's right. It goes by fast.
Yep, and pretty soon, obviously, we're going to start getting some we're going to get into the football season that's coming up. As you guys have been paying attention or haven't been paying attention, the Nova Nation is part of the Let's Talk Sports Network, and we are, Chris and myself, also doing some other shows on the network, especially – coming up with the football season, we're going to be doing a really cool betting show where we talk about sports bets and betting on the football games. And we're also going to be doing a wrap-up show. I got kind of talked into doing a wrap-up show on Sundays for football. So we're going to be doing a lot with the Let's Talk Sports Network. They are a great, great, great social media platform for us to be on. And we're very excited to be part of them. And if you haven't checked it out, go to Let's Talk Sports Network. You'll see a couple of us being on different shows. Chris, you were awesome on the fantasy football show. I believe that was either last week or the week before. That was amazing, man. I was actually listening to that as it was going on, and I stood up and I gave you a standing ovation on that. So that was really good, man.
Well, I'm
very
sure
proud
you did.
Of you.
Thanks.
Very proud of you. We're coming a long way from Nova Nation, and but we will still be doing Nova Nation as that has been part of the network, and we wanted to get back and talk a little bit about what's going on this summer. There's for a little period of time there, it was kind of quiet. Some of the students were coming back on the campus. There were some light workouts going on, but I'd like to start with, as probably most of you have heard, Brian Antoine has transferred to Radford. He went into the transfer portal. Unfortunately, you know, with him, the last couple of years, he's had a lot of injuries, unfortunate injuries that have really kind of derailed his momentum that he had out of high school. So it's extremely a shame that everything happened and he didn't really get a full chance to show what he could do at Villanova. So I feel really bad for him, but hopefully this transfer will help out and, you know, getting away from maybe all the hoopla and all the big lights that goes with Villanova. He will be able to kind of concentrate and shine. But the main thing is him staying healthy. And I got a little bit of insider information for you, Chris. Mm-hmm. I was talking over the summer. We are friends with a couple of the managers, student managers that are on the Villanova basketball team and the men's team. And I had a nice little talk with one of them. And he said that another reason why Brian didn't play as much, because even last year, I think we talked about it on a couple shows, he was back from injury, but there was a lot of times where he was sitting on the bench and he didn't really get that playing time that we thought he was going to get. But from what I was told, a lot of that had to do with his ability to pick up the offense. Hmm. And from what it's, you know, kind of been derived, is when he was in high school, when he was in AAU, when he was being brought up, he played in a particular offense where He had the ball. He was the man, and it was a lot of one-on-one for him to go out and score. That was his main objective.
ISO ball,
exactly. So as he got older, that's the system that he learned. So having that ball in his hands all the time was very important for him. So now fast forward to Villanova, and you know, with obviously with Coach Wright, it's not a one-on-one type offense. It is motion, pass, cut. That's the type of ball that they play. So I think there was a little bit of an issue with him having the ability to kind of go from what he knew and what he learned from, you know, his prior coaches, high school and everything, and then translate that and move forward with the Villanova offense. So I kind of think that's the reason why there were times where he didn't play as much as we thought he was going to.
Yeah, it looks like. I mean, he didn't seem like he was comfortable like as a wing jump shooter. You know what I mean? He's more of a slasher type.
Right. And that was tough for him. And I think that was a main reason for him. And probably a good reason why he's going to end up, you know, obviously he ended up transferring and, you know, going to Radford for hopefully things will work out for him. Cause they said, everybody said he's a great kid. He's, you know, he's awesome. Wants to do as best as he can, but I just think that there were some, a little bit of a disconnect there. So that could be the reason why he ended up transferring. Now,
I mean, it's a shame for him. He didn't play, but as much as he wanted, but he did go to a Final Four. So,
yes. So he does. Hey, he did get a lot of good experience playing with Villanova, and now maybe with this transfer, he'll be able to shine a little bit more, and we'll see what happens with him. So, but the biggest thing with him is obviously staying healthy, and that's going to be the most important thing for him.
Yeah, absolutely. And if he was healthy going in from his second year to his third year, I think he might have transferred last year. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I think him being banged up kind of, I don't want to say forced, but I think it played a big decision in him coming back last year. That's my opinion.
Yeah, no, that's actually a pretty good opinion. It actually, to me, kind of makes sense because, you know, I know he wasn't getting the playing time that he really, truly wanted. So, you know, that obviously he probably had that thought for a while. And now, obviously, with it being him having, you know, senior year and getting older, he has to make the move at this point in time. Mm-hmm. You know,
he should have one extra year eligibility, though, I think.
Right. Because the whole COVID thing, everybody did, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. So I also have a little bit more insider information, and I don't know how insider this is, but they have been having some practices with Coach Neptune over at the Davis Center. And from what I've been told, big difference between Coach Neptune and Coach Wright is Coach Neptune's practices have been closed. So there's nobody other than the coaches and the players. Nobody is allowed into the gym. No managers, no writers, no nothing have been allowed into that gym for this summer session. So big difference between Coach Neptune and Coach Wright. So definitely think that's, I don't know if that really means that much. I mean, obviously a new coach wants to get used to the team and wants the team to get used to him. So I could see why that's being done, right?
Yeah, I guess he wants to put his mark on the practice and the way that they're going to run things. And it's early. I mean, he might not want anyone to assume this is the style I'm going to play. This is the lineup that I'm going to roll with. It's also early that, you know, he doesn't want anybody to see something that they might run with in a story or, you know, leak to a writer or a blog, you know, something like that.
Right. He's probably trying to go as low key as possible. Right.
Yeah, I would think.
Which makes sense. And it's funny. We were actually, my son and I and my wife, last weekend, we were actually in the Davis Center because one of my son's new trainers is Tamir Cosby Roundtree. So Dada invited us to the Davis Center to work out with him and my son. And that Saturday morning, we walk in and, you know, we see Dada and he brings us in. And the first player out on the court that we saw was Brandon Slater putting up shots. And it was cool. Right away, he came over. He actually knew my son from some camps that he was in. So he started talking to him. So it was cool. But those guys are really working out hard. And I'm very excited to see exactly what Slater is going to bring this year. Daniels was there as well, putting up shots. So I'm very excited to see what those two guys do this season.
Yeah, and we had a good feeling that they were going to come back. I always like the energy that Slater brings. And I was impressed with Daniels last year. In 21, I thought maybe the Big East was like a level too big for him. I know he was a really good player in the AAC. I don't know. He just didn't look like he had any skill set that was like so outstanding. But last year I was impressed with his offensive game, and I think he really stepped up. And towards the end of the season, he was a really reliable scorer. And mm-hmm. that's something that I never saw come. Just yep. like, remember in the beginning of the season, Eric Dixon started playing really well on the offensive side. And we were like, wow, you know,
yep.
Daniels as a legit scorer by the end of the season was pretty impressive. And hopefully it carries over into next year because you're going to need him. And we'll get to the next later on about Justin Moore, but you're going to need a veteran scorer.
Right. And that run that he had in the tournament into the Final Four last year was very, very impressive. I thought, and like you said, hopefully carries over.
Yeah. And I never saw it coming.
No. That was definitely a pleasant shock. So hopefully it all goes forward, moves forward to this year. But I want to talk a little bit about the three freshmen that are now on campus. We're talking about Mark Armstrong, Housen, and Cam Whitmore. Excitement is the word I'm going to use because I haven't been this excited in a while for the freshmen that have been coming in. I know under Coach Wright, his system didn't really use freshmen or younger players. You kind of had to pay your dues a little bit. I'm not sure what's going to happen with Coach Neptune, but these three freshmen that I just named are, in my opinion, are going to have to play and make an impact. And we're going to talk a little bit later in this episode about projected starters and everything as far as playing time goes. But I am extremely excited for these three freshmen, and I can't wait to see what they're going to do.
Yeah, and they're going to add some juice because one of the things that we talked about after the loss to Kansas was athleticism, quickness, spacing, defense, wing play, and a lot of that you could see the difference between Kansas's players and the Nova players. So hopefully this adds a little something there, gives them a little shot, you know, and I'm curious to see how it plays out.
And I also think too with Armstrong and Whitmore playing together on that USA team, that was a very successful USA team. I believe they won gold for that tournament that they were in. The two of them coming together and playing well together and getting used to one another, I think that's going to just carry that momentum into the start of this Villanova season. And I definitely think that's going to be a big factor. And this kid Housen, he's got poise for you know, being a freshman, but he doesn't act like a freshman. He's coming in and he's coming
he's,
in.
He's a legit shooter, right?
Yes. And he's coming in and he's like, hey, listen, you know, I'm playing, I'm going to score, and, you know, I'm going to do what I want. I like the confidence that he has and bringing that to the table as well and throwing that into the mix. Should be a very interesting start, especially in the beginning. You're going to see how the season is going to kind of unwind, I believe, in the beginning. The first couple games of the season, if you do see these guys, freshmen, playing, you know, a pretty good amount of minutes, I think that's only going to, you know, kind of steamroll and keep moving forward to where, as we start getting into the season, we start getting into conference play, these guys are going to be playing some heavy minutes.
Good. And they should. And we talked about last year, maybe the games in December should Antoine and Patterson and some of these other guys. Who am I missing?
Longino.
Thank you. They should have been playing in these games. And he worked them into the Big East play in January and February, but maybe in December. I mean, they had some blowout games. It's like, I know they got garbage time, but, you know, could they have played in a little more in some of those games? I know they had the tough ones in Baylor and, you know, UCLA. Not those games, but, you know.
Right.
Some of the other non-conference games in December, maybe they should have played a little more.
No, I agree. And you got to, you know, to me, you know, and this last year was kind of a good, you know, thing to kind of look at the way it went was, as, you know, with Justin Moore going down like he did in the tournament, you needed to have those other guys step up. And, you know, Longino was hurt, so he wasn't available. So you really had to have some guys available, which I think could have been prepared a little bit better, if, like you said, in December or whatever, having a little bit more playing time. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to say that they're going to step in and light the, like, you know, light the world on fire, but at least they could give you some minutes to rest your starters. And I in my opinion, I think by the time that game against Kansas happened, the starters were, you know, they were kind of just played out. You know, they went as far as they could. And, you know, giving them a little bit of time to kind of regroup, I think would have been beneficial.
Yeah. And like you said, there was just no spark coming off the bench. And they were really light at guard, especially. So it was a predictable ending, but they had a great season. And, you know, excited about the future and see where the team goes now in a different direction, or if they kind of stay the course with a coach from the same system and the same program, if he's going to keep things status quo. So yep. It's really, really interesting to see how it plays out.
Now, we touched a little bit about it, and we just talked about it now. The injury to Justin Moore, it's you know, it's basically created headlines. The whole big question mark is, you know, will he play at all this season, or will it be at some point in the season he'll be able to come back? I don't want to jinx anything. I don't like to speculate too much on something like this, but from all his social media posts, if you are looking at his, you know, Instagrams and all these different things, you definitely see he is working out. He is doing different exercises. It looked to me there was a big group, past and present group event. I believe it was last weekend, where a lot of the past players were there with the present players. There was a golf tournament. There was a basketball game. And it looked to me like, you know, he didn't have any boot on. He was just wearing regular sneakers and everything. And obviously he didn't participate, but you know, he wasn't on crutches or anything crazy like that. So a lot of different speculation on when he might return. Chris, I know that you said to me when we were talking and kind of prepping that you did see something as far as an article goes about him possibly returning at a certain point.
Yeah, it was from the Philadelphia Inquirer. I want to say July 22nd, around that time period. His doctors have given him some positive news and saying that his recovery is coming along well and that he should be ready at some point in early 2023. So if that's January, if it's February, don't know. I don't know how long it's going to take to get him conditioned and into basketball shape, which could take some time. I don't know if they're going to ease him in, give him minutes restriction or something like that. But I'm guessing by February, you'll probably see him.
If you were, here's a question for you, Chris. If you were Coach Neptune and you were kind of given, an update and they come to you, the training staff or whatever, and they say, listen, you know, he's good, good to go. But, you know, you might want to just watch or whatever like that. Would you, as a coach, would you ease him in? Would you kind of keep him out until you know he's 100% ready to go? And that means, you know, his cardiovascular, everything like that. Or do you try to get him in as quickly as you can? Because, you know, starting February, beginning of, you know, you got to start getting ready for the Big East tournament. You got to start getting ready, obviously, for the NCAA tournament. So how would you handle his return if you were Coach Neptune?
I'd be reluctant to rush him back in. I'd probably wait until they said he's a full go. That's just me. I think the team is good enough to kind of get by until he gets back. I think they have enough returning where they should still be pretty good. I wouldn't see why they're not one of the favorites to win the Big East again. You know, I know they didn't win the regular season last year, but they won the tournament. So I would probably err on the side of caution.
Is it going to depend upon how the team is doing? Do you think, you stay no matter what, no matter how many wins or losses you're at, you're staying the course and you're doing what you need to do.
I would. Yeah. That's how I would play it. I don't think there's any need to rush him back in.
I mean, I would think, like you said, they're a good enough team to be competitive, to be right there. I definitely think, you know, from a seeding standpoint, I don't think they're going to have to worry about that. They're not a 500 team by any means.
They're not going to be on the bubble.
Right.
Let's say they're third in the standings and they lost maybe four Big East games. I mean, does it really matter if, you know, I don't see the value in rushing him back just to, you know, so you could beat St. John's on a Tuesday night. Like, I don't know. I don't see it, but maybe they'll. If he says he's ready, you know, we might see him in January.
And that's the thing. I mean, I definitely think, like you said, it's you stay your course of what you want to do. I don't think there's going to be a huge worry about getting wins and getting, you know, certain seeding. I definitely think from a standpoint of talent, they have it and you just kind of go with it. And that actually kind of leads me to our last discussion point, the starting lineup for this year. And we're talking starting lineup in the beginning of the season because obviously that's going to change when Justin does come back. Mm-hmm. Obviously he's a starting guard, so he will be back starting at some point. But we talked about the talent. We talked about the freshmen. There's a lot of things coming, you know, back. We talked about Daniels and Slater coming back for that extra year. Your vision, who would be your starting five starting this season?
That's a good question because I think there's three locks Eric Dixon, right? Mm-hmm. He's got to be your big man. Slater, who we were surprised he started last year because he's such a good guy coming off the bench. But mm-hmm. I think he'll start. And I would have to say Daniels has to start, right?
We can kind of – well, go ahead. Let's see. Who would you have as your five?
I don't know the last two, to be quite honest. I don't know who the – who's the guards?
Well, I definitely think if you're going to go guards, in my eyes, from a talent standpoint, I believe Armstrong is going to be your starting point guard. Mm-hmm. And I know that says a lot for a freshman to be a starting point guard, especially on a Villanova team. Mm-hmm. And it might not have happened if Coach Wright was still there, but I think
it wouldn't have happened.
Right. But as far as talent goes, you cannot deny talent. And I mean, no offense to, you know, to Chris Archie Arachno, you know, I have all the respect for him, but from a talent standpoint, you know, I don't think he's your full-time starting point guard. I just don't see it. Mm-hmm. He's good coming off the bench, spell some minutes and stuff like that. But, you know, his shooting, his creativity, you know, you can't
he's
really.
He's not dynamic enough.
Right. So you got to have Armstrong. You got to have Armstrong starting. That second guard position, probably I would say Daniels until Moore comes back. He would probably hold that down. Once Moore does come back, I think things might change a little bit. And they'll go with who's probably having a better season at that point, scoring wise. And then I would go, in my eyes, Dixon obviously is your center. And then your two forwards have to be Slater and Whitmore. Now, okay. The only problem with that is I kind of see Slater and Whitmore kind of being the same type player. They're both very, very, you know, they like to slash, quick, good defenders, long. So having the two of them together might, I don't know if that's going to 100% gel. But you got to start that way, I think. Mm-hmm. And that's, to me, the real key to the starting lineup as it goes through the season is if Slater, if Whitmore can play together on the same court, because their games are kind of the same, just at, you know, one's a freshman, one's a super senior, you know. I think that's going to be the real question mark. And then you got Lingino coming off the bench. You're going to have Housen coming off the bench. I definitely think Housen's going to be one of your first guards off the bench from a shooting standpoint to give him that jolt of shooting. Obviously, you have Arch still there. He'll get playing time. And you have Trey Patterson, who I believe could be your dark horse here too, because he's sat for 2 years in the system. He's watched all these guys play. And he definitely has the ability to be a top-notch player. And I think, depending upon how Coach Neptune wants to use him, he could be another big dark horse as far as somebody to watch out for and watch how they play this year.
The only question I have is if Dixon gets in foul trouble, who comes in?
Well, you got Nanu, you know. Nojuko, or you know, you got him as your backup, who, I mean, he's a big guy. He's going to clog up the lane.
You just named 10 guys. They're going to go 10 deep.
Listen, if you have that much talent, you might have to go 10 deep, you know, because
that's going to be a big change from Jay Wright.
Right, and it is, but I think you can't deny the three freshmen playing time. I definitely think Armstrong and Whitmore has to get playing time.
You had them both in the starting lineup.
Right, so they have to get their playing time.
I hope
And you got Lingino, who who came on last year, played a good game, is a good shooter. I could see him being that, you know, that 3-and-D type player that like Mikal Bridges was, like Shadiq Bey was. I can see him being that type of player. And, you know, the forwards, you know, you obviously you have Slater, you have Dixon there. And these two other guys, you know, Whitmore and you know, and Nanu or, you know, Njuku, or who I can't really pronounce his name, but he's, you know, these guys are going to have to get playing time in my eyes. And I think if you have 10 good players that can play, I think you use 10 players. It would only benefit you come end of the season, come tournament time. In the tournament, if you want to go only 7 deep or 8 deep, that's up to you. But wouldn't you rather be able to pick your 8 best players out of 10, 11 guys, as opposed to struggling with 7 good players and trying to find that one or two extra guys that are going to be able to play in the tournament?
Yeah, and I think you got to look long-term too. If they're getting these bigger recruits and they're not playing right away, we've talked about this, they're not going to come to Villanova. They're going to end up going somewhere else, or they're mm-hmm. going to come and they're going to, and if they're not a one and done, they're going to come and then they're going to hit the transfer portal.
Yep.
So maybe Neptune will be more willing to play the younger kids. And if this kid, if Whitmore is, like you said, is a possible one and done, Why would you bring him coming off the bench? You know what I mean? It makes no sense. And they'll play him eventually.
Right. And if you saw Whitmore playing in that USA tournament, and if you just see him, he's not a small guy. He's a big guy. He doesn't have a freshman frame. Let's just say that, you know. So, you know, in the past, some of these guys who have come in as freshmen haven't really been built to play in the Big East and play that kind of, you know, rough.
And I think like you said, Sadiq Bey, right. Jeremiah Robinson Earl,
right.
You know, they came in like slight build and they had to build their body up and for a more physical brand. And like you said, Jay Wright only went 7-8 deep. So, you know, they had to get in condition and physicality as well. So I'm curious to see, like you said, the first few games, how they roll out the lineup, because you're pretty sure Moore won't be there. Mm-hmm. So we'll see what they go with point guard. If I can't see Chris Arch starting at point guard. If Wright was coach, you think he would have done that?
Well, let's you know, you could kind of look at it. If Coach Wright was there, who would have been your point guard? Because you're
that's
only
what I'm
really
saying. Would he have started Arch?
You only have you have Arch, you have Armstrong, and what, maybe Brizio?
Who he seems buried. I mean, I never see his name come up in any talk. No. About, yeah, I mean. That kid just seems like he's like a 12th man. He was like a 4-star recruit out of Virginia.
And then, so who do you have then? You know, you don't.
You have the three. You have the freshman, and they're your three options.
Right.
I think Daniels has to start.
He's
a reliable scorer, and he could knock down a three if he has to. Remember, you're losing a lot of underrated ability of Colin Gillespie, especially last year, was his three-point shooting. Mm-hmm. I think he was over 40%. The last 2 years, actually, he shot the ball really well. And you're not going to have more. So I think Daniels is going to have to play a lot of minutes in the early season because he's a reliable three-point shooter. Because Slater's not. I don't know what kind of shooting game Whitmore has. And Dixon's not a guy that is known. Yeah. I mean, he'll do it, but.
Well, that's, you
know,
why.
He's an old school, back to the basket type of player.
Right. And that's why, you know, you have, you know, Hausen and you have, you know, Longino as your
offensive. He shot well last year. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, so, I'd be curious to see. When does the schedule come out?
Well, I know, and I did see it on social media that the first couple games did come out already. I don't want to say preseason, but, those first couple games that they normally play.
Like around Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Yeah. Like your big five type games and stuff like that. So I'm trying to think we could probably do a little bit of research with that. And maybe that'll be, once we kind of start to see the schedule kind of unfold a little bit, maybe come back and talk a bit about that.
We'll do a schedule preview show.
Yeah. Because definitely I think, that's going to be a telling factor as far as how this thing goes. And you're going to be able to see real quickly how Coach Neptune's going to handle this squad from the beginning of the season, especially from the fact that, you don't have Justin Moore,
Yeah. And last year, remember you had the Mohegan Sun games.
Yes.
You had to play Purdue. Who, Nova actually played well in that game. They were in it.
Yeah.
They took UCLA to overtime out. They had to travel out to the West Coast. It was a late night game. And then Baylor was just a beatdown.
That was tough going to Baylor.
Yeah, their defense was just, swarming. But those are three, top 10 teams that you had to play in December. I'd be curious to see how they schedule this December.
Yep.
Yeah.
If they're going to be that aggressive or not.
I wonder. I wouldn't see why they wouldn't. They consider themselves a premier program. They're going to have some of those games. I don't know if it'll be three, but they might have two.
Right. And Chris, preseason ranking, they're ranked in the top 10.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. I mean, they should be one of the favorites in the Big East. Right. They should be a team that is going to make a decent run in March, typically. I know the change, legendary coach is no longer there, but, you're returning some really good players and adding some freshmen that can make an impact. So, they should carry over from last year.
Yeah, it should be a very interesting mix of how this team's going to come together.
Yeah,
and I think that's going to be the key is how they come together as a team. But one of the biggest benefits Coach Neptune has, though, is having the super seniors like Slater and Daniels and even Arch who have been there that have that leadership qualities to kind of bring everything together.
Eric Dixon's not a kid anymore.
That's true. I keep forgetting about. Yeah.
Yeah. And he was Neptune's coach, these guys. So it's not like he doesn't know them.
Right.
You know what I mean? So he probably recruited these kids.
Yep.
So,
yeah.
I think it'll probably come together better than we think. But it is curious to see how he's going to play the young guys. Because I think if it was right, we wouldn't see a lot of the young guys early on anyway.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, Chris, as always, it's great talking. Once again, look for us on the Let's Talk Sports Network. We are heavily involved with that as well. But obviously, our first love and passion, as always, is Nova Nation and the men's team and the women's team. We're gonna have to take a look at that as well and see how that thing's going on that side. But as always, Chris, great talking with you. And I'm excited to see because, Chris, you're going to be a little bit part as we move forward with the football season, talking more and more about fantasy football over at the network. So yes. We're excited to see that and wish you the best of luck with that as far as your fantasy football goes. And can't wait to see that. But as always, Nova Nation, thank you for listening. And we'll be back soon. And thank you.
Thanks, Rob.
Thanks, Chris. I'll see you.
All right. Thank you.
Bye.
Are you looking for a reliable company to service your swimming pool or hot tub? If so, we are absolutely thrilled with the work that American Pool Concepts did for us. They completely transformed our pool. American Pool Concepts does amazing work. Patrick and Chris are hardworking pool experts. Hire them, you won't regret it. Check their Facebook page or their website at www.AmericanPoolConcepts.com.
What's up, Nova Nation? If you have any questions that you would like to have answered or discussed on the show, email us at thenovanationpodcast@gmail.com.